We are once again joined by Larry Nagengast, this time taking a deeper look at Career Pathways, an initiative that started in 2015 under then-Governor Jack Markell and has grown since. Larry, we appreciate you taking some time to give us maybe a little evaluation of where this program has come from and where it's gotten to in its early going. Thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome.
As we noted in the segment intro, Career Pathways aim to get at the career part of college and career ready. Can you give us a sense in broad terms of how it tries to achieve this?
Once upon a time, and that once upon a time wasn't very long ago, many people thought of college ready and career ready being somewhat distinctive terms. But today's reality is that more and more jobs require some form of education beyond high school. So the two terms are really closer in meaning than you might think. Now, in terms of career pathways, what that means is creating courses of study that focus on learning in specific fields, healthcare, business, information technology, engineering, and building a curriculum that combines pathway and standard high school classes with two big add-ons, one a work-study component or an internship with a business partner, and two, one or more dual enrollment classes that simultaneously provide high school and college credits.
Having said that, what does a typical pathway look like? How does it work?
The standard here is a three-year program, which would be, think of it as an introductory sort of class in sophomore year, more of an intermediate class for the junior year, and then a more specialized offering in the senior year. Schools have the option of building out this curriculum to fill 4 years if they choose, and many broaden the pathway into what they call a program of study by adding electives from the school's regular curriculum. A business pathway, for example, might include an accounting class, but in addition to that, the school might encourage the student to take a math class in statistics, obviously statistics related to business and to accounting. And then in the summer between junior and senior years, or during the senior year, students would have a work study or an internship with a business associated with his or her pathway.
But your piece does note that the idea with this was to try not to make these kind of cookie cutter curriculums, but at the same time have some kind of standardization. How have they tried to achieve this balance?
Well, you know, it's almost as though every program is a little bit different depending upon what essentially what's available out there. Building a curriculum from scratch can be quite a challenge, but in some industries there are already ready-made programs. For example, the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation has developed a curriculum for culinary arts that is used in many states, including Delaware. Now, in some instances, school districts are allowed to use a curriculum that they have developed on their own. In subject areas where there is no nationally recognized curriculum available and where districts haven't created their own curricula, they're forming groups that are called industry councils. Members of these councils work with educators to identify what students should know and what skills they should acquire so that they can succeed in a particular profession, and then they develop an appropriate curriculum so that the students gain the appropriate knowledge and skills. Now, no matter how the curriculum is developed, for each pathway that a school or a district chooses to offer, the Department of Education requires that the school or the district sign an agreement that specifies the title of the classes in the pathway, what students will learn in each class, how their performance will be measured at the end of the term, and what certifications or college credits they will earn for completing the pathway. So essentially, the pathways are going to be quite similar no matter what district they're in. There's a little bit of room for some leeway and discretion within the districts, but there is a consistency here, and there are standards for evaluation so that they are genuinely meaningful education experiences.
A key piece of all this is working with the business community, getting their buy-in to offer the hands-on experience that you've mentioned that's so valuable, and figuring out how to engage the businesses to be involved. How has that worked out so far? Are businesses on board, and are they connecting with students?
Broadly speaking, Delaware's business community is enthusiastic about pathways. I mean, you know, in the past, I think certainly we've all heard businesses complain that high school graduates aren't ready when they graduate to enter the workforce. Now, Pathways is really designed to end that criticism by giving students the skills that they need to succeed when they start work, and by giving giving businesses the opportunity to help shape the curriculum. At the college level, Delaware Technical Community College has worked with key Delaware industries for years to develop academic programs that prepare college-level students for jobs that meet employers' needs. Now, with Pathways, this process is kind of filtering down from Delaware Tech to the high school level. And Delaware Tech is part of the curriculum development process, since graduates of many of the Pathways programs will be earning college credits that will give them a head start towards earning an associate degree at Delaware Tech. One other thing to mention here as well, the work study isn't the only piece of business participation in Pathways. Depending upon the grade level of the students and so on, businesses are participating in job fairs, in career days. They're doing mentoring, they're offering job shadowing. But far and away, the most important piece of the puzzle is having businesses participate in these work study and internship programs.
One district that seems to have done particularly well with Pathways is the Colonial School District. Why is it working so well there?
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, Colonial was in a difficult situation. William Penn High School, which for years had been the largest in the state, was losing students to the Votech schools and to a lesser extent to some charters because the community wasn't happy with how well the school was serving its students. Then when Delaware won a share of the federal Race to the Top grants, some of that money came into Colonial, and Colonial used that to embark upon essentially a rethinking of what it was offering at William Penn. What came out of this process was a decision to divide the school's curriculum, much the way big universities do, into three units that they're calling colleges. And one of them is for business, one of them is for the STEM subjects, and one is for the humanities. Now, Pathways came along just as William Penn was finishing setting up these three colleges. Adding the relevant Pathways programs into each unit gave a stronger backbone to the curriculum.
Is there a program or two in Colonial that stands out?
There are 19 Pathways now operating at William Penn, and there are four that I can give a little bit of a shout-out to right now. You know, we've talked in the past about how the Colonial District several years back reached an agreement with the trustees of the Newcastle Common and Delaware Greenways to have William Penn students grow and harvest crops on a portion of historic Penn Farm, which is just behind the school. And then that Penn Farm has become the centerpiece of the agriculture pathway, and some of the vegetables and fruits that are grown on the farm make their way not only into the district's cafeterias, where they're served as part of the lunch program, but also into William Penn's culinary program. So in some respects, the culinary and agriculture pathways at William Penn do intersect. Then there's also an intersection between the veterinary students in the ag program and those in William Penn's health sciences pathway, with the health students drawing blood and taking other sorts of samples from the farm animals. Now, in addition, William Penn is one of the few allied health programs in the state to offer a phlebotomy class. This requires a special certification for the teacher, and it just happens that one of the teachers that William Penn hired for the allied health pathway was a phlebotomist. So they're able to offer a phlebotomy curriculum, and they're the only one in Newcastle County that's able to do this. Now, finally, we've got the engineering pathway. And again, you know, we talk about these pathways, and very often we're thinking about kids who are not necessarily college bound or going for associate degrees. But you know, in engineering, a lot of kids are, you know, thinking 4-year colleges, masters, and so on. Well, one of the neat things here for the district is that it set up an internship at Dassault Falcon Aviation, which has a repair and maintenance operation at the Newcastle County Airport. Now, last year and this year, a couple of William Penn students have gone over there, and again on a work study program. They're earning $10 an hour, working 8 to 16 hours a week, and they're learning about the complex electronic systems inside each of these private passenger aircrafts that are maintained and upgraded at Dassault Falcon.
And Colonial is also extending Pathways reach now into middle schools. Why are they doing that?
Brian Erskine, who's the principal at William Penn, says the district believes that students shouldn't wait until ninth grade to start thinking about their careers. By sixth grade, he says, you know, they're old enough to start thinking about what they'd like to do when they grow up, and how to connect those interests with the classes that are available to them to help them get where they want to go. So now, to help with that process, Colonial has gone and set up themes for each of its three middle schools. At George Read, there's business, culinary, and agriculture. At McCullough, there are the STEM subjects. At Gunning Bedford Middle School, it's visual and performing arts and digital media and communications. Now, on top of that, this year, Colonial has set up a work-based learning center at McCullough, and students from William Penn, from the middle schools, and the Wallace Wallen School for Special Needs Youth all are going to be using this center to learn more about careers, to meet with prospective employers, and to get short classes on topics that, you know, aren't part of the regular curriculum, things like financial literacy. And classes like that might be taught by nonprofits, or they might be taught by some of these business partners. There are also plans to open up this center in the evening for services to adults in the community.
And the Career Pathways program, as we noted at the very top, is growing steadily. How many more students is it serving now than it did at the start, and how does that compare with the state's goals for Career Pathways?
Okay. Well, the program has grown rapidly. So it started with fewer than 2,000 students in five pathways in the 2015-16 school year, and moved up to where they're about 15,000 students this year in a total of 25 different pathways. We've got pathways programs in 42 high schools. That's spread over 19 school districts and 8 charter schools. The goal for next year is to reach 20,000 students. Now, that sounds a little bit ambitious, but remember, not all these pathways are 3 or 4 years old yet, so they're growing, and interest is growing as well in the schools. And if you get to 20,000, you're talking about serving roughly half of the public high school enrollment in the state in a career pathway program.
Your piece also notes that the first set of pathway students graduated last spring. Any sense, based on that, how well this is working, or is it still a little too early to tell?
Well, like I say, it's too early to tell. I mean, you know, the officials I've talked to, and this is both at the Department of Education and also William Penn, they say Pathways is having a positive impact. There are indications of improved academic performance, higher attendance rates, lower dropout rates, but it's not as though anyone has done any sort of a comprehensive study to pull all this together and, you know, look at more than one school in isolation. And at this point, too, we don't really know how many students have found jobs in the desired fields that they studied in, or how many of them might have continued into college on their pathway. So drawing conclusions is going to take another couple of years. There's a lot of business interest in the program. But the fact is, a lot of businesses have more experience onboarding college students than they do teenagers in high school. And in some cases, it's a lot easier to find internships and work-study programs in a small business than it is in a big corporation where you've got to work through larger HR departments and, you know, a lot more formalized procedures and so on. Even with these issues that Delaware is facing and working through, the program is building a good reputation. I talked to Bob Schwartz, who's the Harvard professor who leads Jobs for the Future, which is the national organization that has guided development of pathways programs in 15 states. Schwartz calls Delaware the poster child for pathways nationally, and I'd say that that's a pretty strong endorsement.
All right, Nat Guess, we appreciate the reporting. We appreciate the time. Thanks as always.
You're quite welcome.